All right, good afternoon, family. On this historical day in America, Big Rob, we joined by our congressperson here in West Michigan, Congressman Bill Heisinger. How are you doing today, Congressman Heisinger?
Hey, good to be with you. Appreciate the opportunity to chat with you here, Paul. And Big Rob's looking good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Hey, I know I thought we was going to talk to you after the impeachment vote, but that's okay. We can talk about your intentions.
Yeah.
Are you going to vote to impeach President Trump, or are you not going to vote for it? I lost your audio.
Yeah. Someone was trying to call my phone, actually. So let me just give you a little lay of the land right now. We're in the final probably 30 minutes of debate about the impeachment resolution. Here it is. It's literally four pages. There's not much to it. I encourage people to take a look at it. Here's the problem that I have, Paul. I believe that the president's actions last week were not helpful by any stretch of the imagination. I believe that the people who came to the Capitol and broke into the Capitol need to be prosecuted, and they need to be have the book thrown at them. Completely unacceptable in this system of government that we have. The question that we have, the constitutional question, is do the actions of this president rise to what is the definition of high crimes and misdemeanors? And there's federal penal code that lays out what inciting a riot means. And if this president had directed people to say, go down there and drag them out, or beat up the cops, or burn the place down, or you take care of Mike Pence for me, right? That would be grounds for inciting a riot. What we're having emerge out of this is that it appears that there was more premeditated, planned, set in place actions that were ready to go, regardless of what happened down on the ellipse, regardless of whether the president or anybody else even spoke. And we now know that that there had been pipe bombs that had been planted beforehand, potentially as distraction or as a way of attacking both the Republican and the Democrat campaign committees, possibly around the Capitol itself. So what we need to do is make a distinction between the people that had loaded up on a bus in Muskegon or Macomb County or anywhere else and came down to the ellipse to support their president, who, and I've been very clear on this, was not factually accurate about what had gone on here in Michigan, or at least his legal team certainly wasn't. He kind of dropped Michigan after it became more apparent that there wasn't this mass systematic fraud that had been claimed by his team. That's very different than those people who literally came premeditated, ready to go. Sort of the QAnon group. We all saw the picture of the guy with the buffalo horns on the right. Senate floor. That is completely unacceptable. So what had happened is unacceptable. But does it rise to high crimes and misdemeanors? And I said this in some other earlier interviews. Impeachment's become the new censure, meaning should there be more of a official rebuke or a censure of the president versus an impeachment? Many people would argue that Bill Clinton probably should have been censured rather than impeached. This first time around when this president was impeached here in the House but not convicted in the Senate, that probably should have been a censure. And I think the same thing goes here, because we're not even going to get to a Senate trial till after he's out of office. And so if the purpose is to get him out of office, this isn't going to do it. And that's why I think it's more political theater than anything.
Well, I know you only got a few minutes, couple questions.
I'll try to go next.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's complicated stuff.
You signed on with a group of Congress people to challenge the electors, I believe. or to challenge the election. Do you believe Michigan election was fairly done?
So, yeah, let me explain what that was. There was a lawsuit from Texas that had gone to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court's the only place that that case can be heard when you have one state basically suing another state, right? Mm-hmm. I signed on to what's called an amicus brief, meaning an encouragement for the Supreme Court to hear the case. I wanted them to hear what Texas had to say, because I do believe what had happened in Michigan with the Secretary of State was outside the law that we have. And there was a lower court, it was called a recording court, that deemed it legal. But I can tell you a lot of state legislators are very upset, frustrated, and concerned about what had gone on with the Secretary of State mailing out 7.7 million absentee ballot applications to people that didn't even live in Michigan anymore. And so that really was what I was trying to do, was to say, look, we've got some constitutional questions and issues. They ought to be answered. There ought to be an exploration of these issues. The Supreme Court said that Texas didn't have the proper standing, that meaning they couldn't bring this case, and they didn't hear it. So I accepted that. What I don't believe happened is what's been claimed by a lot of folks, is that there was this Dominion voting system that somehow when you walked in and voted for Donald Trump, it actually then registered a vote for Joe Biden. That's been rampant out on not just the internet, but I've been getting calls and emails and that kind of thing. Interestingly enough, one of the people that was making this claimed that there was 21 precincts in the state of Michigan that had 90% voter turnout or greater. The top one being 780% in North Muskegon. The second one was a 460% voter turnout in my hometown of Zeeland. All right. Okay. Well, not sure about North Muskegon, but I know Zeeland, that went for about 80% for Trump. And if there was this system-wide mass fraud, they did a horrible job at it. And by the way, it wasn't true. It was demonstrable that North Muskegon didn't have 780% voter turnout. Zeeland didn't have 460% voter turnout. And neither Muskegon County or Ottawa County even used this Dominion voting system. And right. So it's not accepted by everybody. I've been out there trying to tell people that is not the case. I've been, kind of vilified by some of my friends for not believing that massive fraud has occurred. But at the end of the day, I didn't vote for him, but I do believe that Joe Biden won the state of Michigan. That doesn't mean that there aren't issues that we have to explore and correct, but I just don't see 154,000 votes switching.
Why do you think this fraud stuff is still trending out here? Why is it so many people believing that the election process is flawed?
Yeah. Do you remember talking to me after my couple of my first telephone town, or not telephone town halls, my first town hall meetings? You know, I had a couple of town hall meetings where I had 1,500 people showing up screaming at me that Russia had flipped the election and that Hillary Clinton had really won. Right? I mean, they were claiming election fraud. And for 4 years, this has sort of been the mantra, and it has degraded everybody's trust in our electoral system, and it's been both sides, and now when part of the problem is, and this is one of the reasons why I like doing your show, is that part of the problem is we all end up talking to the people that we agree with. Not just the people and only the people we agree with. I had Biden supporters tell me, how did Donald Trump even come close? I don't know a single person that voted for him. And I had Trump supporters who told me the exact same thing. I don't know a single person who voted for Joe Biden. There's no way that he won. It had to be vote fraud. And frankly, the president and his team added fuel to that fire. And that's a problem. And so how are we going to restore trust back into our electoral system? What I'm really afraid of, Paul, is that going down this impeachment road again is not going to heal our country.
We got a couple more questions. I know you got to go. Big Rob, can you take this online question? Very important.
Yes. Chris Paul would like to know, where do you stand on increasing the stimulus $2,000 per person?
Yeah. So I had previously, that had been negotiated out at $600. I'm not absolutely opposed to that. It was suddenly dropped in, ironically, by the president back into the negotiations. And I think that what we need to do is look at the context and where people are, and where the economy is going. So I'm satisfied with the $600 now, but I'm open to looking at whatever is going to be happening in the future. So that $2,000 or something else in between that might be a part of another COVID package, but that's going to take a little bit before we get to it.
Were you inside the Capitol building last week when this riot happened? Tell us what happened.
I was on the House floor. And in fact, was probably about 10 or 15 yards from the doors, actually went up to the doors as they were getting pounded on and Capitol Hill police were starting to form a barricade. I went and grabbed one of the benches that was in the back of the chamber. Somebody that a couple of Cap police officers had grabbed a desk and had put it in front, and they had gotten another bench and put it on top of it. And I was in the process of carrying this bench with another Capitol Hill police officer when we heard the gunshot, and they started screaming, "Shots fired! Shots fired! You know, get down!" And so, as you can imagine, I dropped the bench. And this other Cap police officer was saying to me, "We got to get this over there." So I picked it back up, and then they started screaming again, you know, "Get down, get down." And I, you know, finally one of them was like, "Representative, get out of here. We need to do our job. We have kind of a thing, you know, get safe." And so it was pretty harrowing. I was honestly, sadly, was anticipating that we may have to literally do hand-to-hand combat on the House floor. And this, we're better than this as a country. We are better than this. And we need to do better.
Big Rob, can you take this last question from Michelle Tyson?
Yeah. Michelle would like to know, where do we go from here now? What penalties are being put in place to have those who participated on a county level? Why is everyone so scared to answer what actions are being taken to those on a county level?
So I'm not sure exactly what she's...
Speaking of the riot for those from Muskegon County who went down to... I'm assuming who went down to
Washington. Well, I know that there was a couple of buses from Muskegon County of the president's supporters that went down there. I'm not aware of any of those folks who made it into the Capitol. Or certainly had been arrested. I know that there's others from Michigan that have been arrested, but I think they were from other areas. I'm not aware of anybody in our local West Michigan area that has been arrested or even identified as someone that had broke into the Capitol. And you got to look at the timeline. You know, when I was going across the street, I went outside because I wanted to see what was going on. When the first breach of the outer layer of security happened and they shut down the Capitol and they turned me around, I was halfway to the Capitol, they turned me around to go through a tunnel. The president wasn't even done with his speech yet at that point. And so it was kind of like hey, what's going on? I didn't quite understand, the timeline happening. So I don't know where those people were. My guess is that, we know that that federal law enforcement is working with state and local law enforcement to identify everybody that they possibly can. And here's the thing, the Capitol's full of cameras, not to mention everybody pulling out their cell phones and videoing themselves and doing all the other. I mean, these, by the way, are the dumbest criminals ever. If you're going to go video yourself, wreaking havoc. It doesn't matter where they're from or who they are. If they broke federal law, broke into the Capitol and were menacing people in any way, they need to have the full, you know, the full weight of the law brought down on them.
What went wrong last week? Because we know for Black Lives Matter protests, there was a bunch of security out there loaded with armed security. What happened last week?
Well, there was somewhere around 1,600 Capitol Hill police officers out there, plus another 1,500 to 2,000 metropolitan police officers. So right there, there was over 3,000 armed police officers. And Paul, you've been out there, and we've spent time, you know, standing on the speaker's balcony. How big the campus is, how big the building is. Right. It's a massive area that that they were trying to cover. Now, one of the things that has been, it's been in the media, but it's not, it's just sort of emerging now, is that there had been a call for National Guard troops, and somebody, and I there's speculation that it may have been House leadership, it might have been Senate leadership. We don't know who, but someone said they didn't like the optics of this, that there would be National Guards folks out on patrol. We do know that there were people that were ready. They had about 300 or 400 additional troops that were basically in the district and ready to go. But that wasn't adequate for what had happened. And look, I saw. I saw the videos, man. I mean, it was violent. We were seeing people with, you know, using bear spray and fire extinguishers against the cops, using pepper spray and, you know, pepper, you know, it was pepper bullets. They're almost like paintballs filled with pepper. You know, the question was there going to be lethal force? But man, you look at, I talked to a number of these folks. Some of them had to make a decision about whether they were going to use lethal force and literally fire their weapons or not. And that's a tough spot to put people in when, you know, we've never had to experience anything quite like this, or quite like that in Washington.
Well, I know you got to go because you got to vote in a little bit. I hope we can get you back and have a town hall with our radio station. As you see, when you're on, the numbers are starting to go up. And there are a lot of questions. So I'm throwing this invitation out to you to let us host the town hall where we don't feed you the questions like we didn't do this time, and let you go ahead.
Oh, wait a minute. You guys get accused of that too? Because I get accused of just having fluff questions thrown.
Oh, right. They don't know, but...
You know, Paul, this maybe goes to the question Big Rob was having, you know, kind of the where do we go? You know, there is the law enforcement side of this, and that has to be... a main thrust, but we also have to have conversations. We have to figure out where we are going to go as a country, because this is not healthy. This is not productive. There are way too many barriers between people. Like I mentioned, you know, people are afraid to go listen to alternative voices and things that they may not agree with. And what I told those people that, you know, that are Trump supporters who tell me they don't know a single person who voted for Biden, or a Biden supporter who tells me they don't know a single person who voted for Trump. I tell them, well, I do, because they all come to me, and we all need to get better at trying to figure out where other people are and put ourselves in their shoes.
Wow. Last comment. This is a comment from Connie Nesberry, psychologist here. You probably know Connie. She said, you could have been killed, people were killed, and you just want people to heal and not hold anyone accountable. Any comments on that?
Well, I certainly want people to be held accountable. The actions have consequences, and there should be legal ramifications. You know, it's interesting. I represent a good chunk of Gerald Ford's old district, and there was people at that time, post-Watergate, who were saying, I don't care whether Richard Nixon resigned. We need to put him on trial. We need to put him in jail. We need to, you know, have the full extent of the law. And Gerald Ford made a decision which many, many people believe actually cost him being president of the United States when he decided to pardon Richard Nixon. We're not at that point, but this is going to take both Joe Biden and other leaders on the other side who have been aggrieved to lead through this. It's going to have to be Republicans who lead through this. Again, those are very different people. People who broke the law versus people who are suddenly having their Twitter accounts and their Facebook accounts taken down because what they're saying isn't popular. That's very dangerous territory. It may be the conservatives right now, but what happens if it's the liberals? What happens if it's, this is what happened, to people throughout history, be it based on their religion or their skin color or whatever other sort of arbitrary reason. I mean, we have a country that's based on our ability to speak our minds, not to break the law, but right, to express what we believe. We need to get back to that. And my experience has been, the more time you spend trying to understand where somebody else is coming from, they'll understand you even more. That's kind of where I see where we're at for the good doctor.
I know I keep saying that. This is the absolute last question. Scale of 1 to 10, what do you give President Trump? Scale of 1 to 10.
How do I rate him?
Rate him, yeah, on a scale of...
On policy, I give him high marks.
Said for his legacy.
Yeah, the legacy, I think all of his legacy went right out the window last Wednesday. And it's damaged forever based on what had happened. That's going to be the legacy he's going to have to deal with.
All right, thank you so much. Can we get you back? I'm going to talk to Boomer.
We'll do it.
You see, we got a lot of questions coming in and we can't get to all of them.
We've been on for about 20 minutes, 22 minutes, it looks like. This is a days long conversation, and I hope that we're going to be able to spend some time. I really do want people to understand, look, there's characterizations of who I am, what I believe, why I'm doing it. I've had people accused of me being paid off, guaranteed, all this garbage out there that is just incredible. And I guess I'd want to leave people with this. I'm a guy who's got a job for the next 2 years, who's been hired to use his experience, his knowledge and his judgment. I have that very public job review. That's going to happen again. What I hope people understand is that I'm trying to put the Constitution first, not a party, not a man, not a state even. I'm looking at what we need to do because, when you put your faith in a particular man or a particular party or a particular candidate, they're going to fail you. But when we put our faith, I'm reminded of the old Bo Schembechler saying. He used to say, it's not about any one of the players, it's the team, the team, the team. Well, for me, it's the Constitution, Constitution, Constitution. That has to be what we look at, application of law, how it applies to everybody equally, making sure people have opportunity where they deserve opportunity, right? That really is what we've got to pursue. And I hope that that's a common goal. We might have a different path to get there, but I hope people realize that we need to have some more common goals.
All right, Congressman Bill Heisinger, thank you so much, Bill. We'll be talking to you, man.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, Paul. See you, Big Rob.
Yep, see you.